And welcome to the Remnant Radio Hour, where we're living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is Nitza Moshe, and tonight we have a special guest and a former compadre, or compadre, I don't know how you say that in female, but anyway, we have Miss Posey Salem. How are you, Miss Posey?
I'm great. How are you?
Awesome. Good to have you back with me.
It's awesome to be here.
All right. So for those who are listening and don't know, Posey used to be on the radio here on LAM. And so we've missed her, but she's been very busy. And she has been excelling and just going up the charts here with Radiant Resume. So before we start, why don't you just kind of tell us where people can contact you? Because they're going to hear a lot of good information and they should have probably paper and pen and take notes, right?
Yes, probably. You can reach me at my website, which is radiantresume.com. And there's lots of information there that can be helpful to job seekers. From that website, you can reach out to me and contact me. My phone number's there. You can give me a call. You can email me. And what else do you want to know?
Okay, well, why don't we just start with, you know, a lot of people, especially I think if you're my age, like, let's say, born in the 50s, maybe the 60s, we used to write resumes. And I mean, there was a certain way to do it to get attention. And but today we live in a whole new different world. And I wasn't aware until several years ago when we did a show with you that a lot of people, especially in the baby boomer age, pretty much probably, aren't getting job interviews because they don't understand how the system works now when they're looking for jobs. So I guess that's the first question is, why do we need to know about what you do and how it's done? And the second question to that I kind of want you to just kind of tag on there are young people learning this also, or do people only get this when they come to a professional like you?
Okay, well, you know, every single day I talk to people who are trying to get a job. Some of them are unemployed. Some of them have a job, but maybe they're not real thrilled with it any longer. Some of them are ready to move up the ladder, the next step in their job. And a lot of these people have the same thing in common. They've been applying for jobs with a resume that they wrote, and they've applied for 250 500. Some people have applied for more than 1,000 jobs.
Wow.
And guess what? They're getting nothing out of it except more and more discouragement. And it's so frustrating. And quite honestly, it breaks my heart. This is part of the reason why I decided to start my business and do this full time. I kind of had been doing it off and on to help family, friends, and friends of friends for 30 years.
Right.
But several years ago, I helped someone and he called me back because he got the job and he said, I have your first client for you. And I said, what do you mean? I don't even have a business. And he goes, well, you do now. Mm-hmm. And talked to my husband and we decided that he'd been asking me to do this for years. So it took me the better part of 9 months studying all day, every day, taking classes, going to conferences, taking more workshops, reading, trying to get up to speed because everything has changed, just like you said. I'm a baby boomer. My husband's a baby boomer. Maybe you're that age. Maybe you're a little bit younger than that. But I would say if you are 40, 38 to 40 and above and haven't had any contact with a professional resume writer or a career professional, you probably don't have a comprehension of how much things have changed. And then this gets passed down to children and grandchildren because the parents don't know any different. They just think everything is the same as it always was. And if kids ask their friends ask their parents, they're getting the same kind of information. And it's frustrating because there's really good people who are really, really qualified and really want a new job. And they're trying very hard, but they're spinning their wheels.
And why is that, Posey?
Well, It's partly because they just don't know how to plan and execute a job search in today's market. That's the first thing. The second thing, well, I'll give you an example. They think that looking for a job is what they do on a computer. They sit in front of their computer and they go to some place like monster.com and look for jobs and just apply for whatever they feel like they can do. That's not going to help them. Only 3% of the available jobs in the marketplace today are actually advertised on those online job boards. And there's way better ones to use than Monster. It used to be the thing. Now it's not quite as, not my favorite choice. I would recommend people to use something like Career Builder or Indeed. Those are job aggregate boards. And they're posting jobs for all over the country and the world. So, but even with all of those jobs being posted, you still have to remember that that's only 3% of what's really available. And people don't know how to access that other 97% of the jobs. Those are what are in the hidden job market. And that's like a whole show in itself. But if you've been trying to get a job by sitting in front of your computer and looking for hours at job postings at a job board site like Indeed and applying to whatever you feel you can do and not getting anywhere, no one's calling you, you're not getting any emails, there's definitely no invitations for interviews, then it's time to make some major shifts. It's like a paradigm shift that needs to take place. Another reason why people are applying for all these jobs and they're not getting them is because they can't go and talk to the people themselves. You might be really, really qualified, a great employee that somebody would be thrilled to have. But if you are not communicating that and not communicating your worth and your value on a piece of paper or on a electronic document, your resume, they're never going to know how wonderful you are, and they won't give you the time of day, because when it's all washing out, your resume has to represent you to people who don't know you, and it has to generate enough interest for them to go, huh, well, maybe this needs some Moshe girl. Maybe we should get her on the phone and talk to her for a little bit. Then if they talk to you on the phone or they email you and you sound like you're excited and know what you're talking about and have great experience and the conversation goes well, they might extend you an opportunity for an interview. You have to understand that on those job boards, when there's one job advertised, there might be 250 to 500 people across the country that are trying to apply for the very same job.
Wow.
Back in the day when it was you and me, you know, like just out of high school or college looking for a job, we went to the classified section of the newspaper, right? Isn't that what
right.
we did?
Pretty yep. much, unless okay. we targeted something and walked in.
Yes. But so you looked at the classifieds and it was local. So from the local community, depending on the metropolitan size of your community, it might get anywhere from 30 to 150 resumes sent in the mail. Well, that's a very big difference from 30 to, say, 300 resumes, all for one job now. So it's become more important than ever that your resume just dazzles them, shows them what you can do. And along with your resume, technology has changed everything. We'll talk a little bit more about that as the program progresses, but people think the resume is all they need. It's very possible that the type of profession or career or job that you want to get next might be something that you should be a part of LinkedIn. And a lot of people poo-poo social media and aren't real keen on LinkedIn. But if you're looking for a job and you have a skill set for a specific type of job, then LinkedIn can be a very big help to you. Do you have any questions so far?
Oh, well, on LinkedIn, is there a search thing on there? Because, I mean, LinkedIn for me has never been, you know, anything. Of course, I'm not out looking for a job, but, you know, sometimes you can meet up with other people of the same industry or related industries. Is there like a place there for you to just search for kinds of jobs?
They do have a job search section on LinkedIn, and I would include that as part of your job search toolkit to be searching there, searching on Indeed, Career Builder. Those are some of the better places. If there's a business in your area that you would like to work for, you can get on the internet and look them up, look at their website. Some larger businesses and corporations have a whole section on their website that's just dedicated to them posting job openings and a way to get your information into their system. So that's another place. You know, they might not be posting on those big job boards, but they're posting on their own company's website. So that's another way to tap into those hidden jobs. But yes, you can search for jobs on LinkedIn. Here's the reason why LinkedIn can be so important. And I really sort of feel like it depends what kind of job you're looking for. I'll give you an example of a job that might not be your best place to be looking for a job. And that might be if you want to work at a convenience store or manage a convenience store. LinkedIn might not be the place for you. However, if you have other interests, such as photography or, there's just so many things that other people on LinkedIn are interested in, and there's lots of different groups. So that might be something else that you would be interested in, why you might want to be a part of LinkedIn. But here's the biggest reason why I think it's so important. If you send a resume and apply to a job opening, and you get through the system, which we're going to talk about in a little bit here, and they're interested in you, before they call you, they're going to look you up on LinkedIn. That's the first thing they're going to do. And if you're not on LinkedIn, the next thought in their head is, why? Why aren't they?
Yeah, so basically
LinkedIn?
That would replace what we used to do as references, or make it referencing easier for them.
Yes, it does. It also gives them a sense of who you are, because your LinkedIn profile should be written in a different voice than your resume. And it gives them a little bit of an idea to your personality and your likability. And if a lot of people have endorsed you for, say me, for resume writing skills, then that gives them an idea that, okay, she probably can do this. If you have some recommendations from coworkers, previous coworkers, customers, clients, friends, associates, whatever, recommendations on your LinkedIn profile, that's just like the references that you talked about a moment ago. You still need to have a reference sheet, but LinkedIn isn't replacing it, but it's validating.
Well, basically, they don't look up validation. Basically, they don't call your references until they've checked you out anyway.
That's right. So this is a way for them, again, to get a sense about whether they want to proceed and have a quick call on the phone with you. And that quick phone call can determine whether you're going to get called in for an interview or not. It just goes without saying, but always be polite, be kind, be as professional as possible. You can't be like yelling at the dog because he's barking at you. You can't be trying to cook dinner and talk to them on the phone and, you know, them hear water running and stuff. That's all like not going to help you. You need to be focused and in a fairly quiet place when you're taking these calls from prospective employers so that they can clearly hear you. So you're not rattled. You need to, you know, take a few deep breaths once you realize who they are and that they want to talk to you to get centered and calm down a little and focus on what you need to say to give you the best opportunity to get to the next stage, which is to be invited for an interview. But you mentioned the baby boomer era and how we used to do resumes. And I can tell you that the way you were taught, Nitza, is the way I was taught. It's the way I did resumes for years. And it's the way universities and colleges and trade schools and job centers are still teaching people today to do resumes. The reason why they're teaching people to do resumes that way, even though they don't work very well, is because it's something that can easily be taught. And what I do is hard to teach. It takes a lot of time. And you can't just do it in a, you know, in an hour or a, you know, a three-part series or something like that. There's a lot involved, and it's to your benefit to connect with a resume professional or a career professional to help you get your resume done. Because if you're like me, I can't write about myself. I mean, I write about what people do all day long, and I can't write about myself. I had a colleague who I do some subcontracting work for, writing work, and she asked for my bio. And so I wrote a, you know, short little paragraph and sent it to her. And she sent it back and said, no, rewrite it. We did this six times. And finally, I just got so frustrated. I said, I don't know what you want. So why don't you just write it and send it to me and then I'll just tell you, okay. Because she clearly knew what she wanted and I wasn't giving it to her, but she wasn't giving me any help either. When she wrote it and sent it to me, I sat there and went, oh, that's what she wanted me to say. It's usually the stuff that we're uncomfortable saying, you know, the stuff that we're like, we don't want to be conceited or braggadocious. And, but honestly, that's the kind of stuff that prospective employers want to know. And it's very hard to toot your own horn for most people. Some people don't have a problem doing it and are very good at it, but most people have difficulty. And so it's easier to have somebody else write about you than for you to try and do it yourself. Let's talk about some myths about resumes. You know, there's a lot of people I talk to that, you know, are inquiring about resume service and they say, you know, well, I was told that a resume should only be one page long. If this were Jeopardy, you'd get like a buzzer bell, you know, wrong answer. They're not just one page. It depends. It depends on what the job is, what your skills are, what your education level is, what the company's looking for. Most companies aren't open about how many pages they want to see a resume written. But Google is one of them. They only want a one-page resume. And if you only have one page, just the front side of a piece of paper to get your message across, you had better have some pretty stellar accomplishments and some great education and some really jazzy stuff that's going
to... Now, is there a limit to this, how small the font can be?
Yes, there is. It really should be about 11 points. Okay. You can go down to 10. There was a day that I was going down to 9. I've kind of changed that now. and try and keep things as much at 11 as I possibly can. And headings that divide up the sections, I'll go 14 point. A name could be 20 or more points in size. But you got to have it be readable, and not just readable, but they need to be able to quickly scan it in 7 seconds or less. And if they can't scan it in 7 seconds or less and get the high points, guess what? You're not going to get paid any attention. So if you're applying for a job, read and pay attention to what that job announcement says. If it says send your one-page resume, then that's what you need to send. And if they say submit your resume and cover letter here, then that's exactly what you need to do. Send the resume and the cover letter. Just sending the resume without the cover letter means you didn't follow instructions. And that's something that they put in there on purpose to see how many people were going to pay attention and do what they were asked.
One of the things I've seen in the past is they don't want a resume, and there's not enough data spaces or information spaces for you to give what may be important. And that's kind of frustrating, especially when you only have access to them online.
Okay, so you're talking about like doing a job application?
Yeah, sometimes, they make you go online, and then you don't have the ability to attach a resume.
Okay. Do they have a place where it says copy and paste your resume here?
Some of them may have, but it's been a while, but I remember that just being a real frustration.
Okay, so here's what I would suggest. If you get, if you work with a career professional and you talk to them about that, what do I do if I'm filling out, an application online and they're not giving me the opportunity to include my resume, how can I make the best use of the little spaces that they're giving? I would say if you have a well-written resume that has good meaty bullet points that really show what you can do, be familiar with your resume. You really need to be intimately familiar with what's on that piece of paper, no matter what you're doing, what kind of an application. But pick out the best bullet points. And my suggestion wouldn't be to type them in. I'm big on copy and paste, because it's less likely for you to do a typo or a misspell of a word. So having it ready and copy and paste it into that slot. If they do say, if there's nothing that says upload your resume here, if it's one of those copy and paste your resume here, this is something that you really need to hear very clearly, because this is important. If you have your resume in a Microsoft Word document, which is what I provide my clients, and it looks very nice and it's scannable for their applicant tracking systems, but if you copy it and paste it into that little box, which really is a text box, it's not going to show up on the other side looking very nice. So what that box really wants you to do is have a text version, plain text version, ASCII text version of your resume. And you can save your resume in as a plain text version. You have to open it up in Windows. I think it's called Notepad. And look at it. You're probably going to have to change the spacing. Some characters won't have translated over, so there's going to be these question marks all the way through it. The spacing might be off. It kind of looks like a nightmare.
So basically, you could have thought you gave that information. It's not very readable on the other end.
That's right. And it also looks like you didn't know what you were doing with all those question marks in there.
Okay.
So you have to look through it and read it and change, instead of a question mark in a plain text file, you can use the hyphen, you can use the asterisk symbol, an M dash symbol. Those would be the symbols of choice in a text document that I would use. But please, if you're converting it, please read it and make sure the spacing between your sections, you know, there's a line of space between them, that you got rid of any weird characters that came in as question marks or other funky things, and that it reads right and looks decent. And save that so that whenever someone says, copy and paste your resume here, that's what you're going to copy and paste. Then it will show right for them, and their applicant tracking systems are going to be able to read it.
Now, why don't you tell us what those tracking systems are? Because I think that's part of the big problem for a lot of people, wouldn't you say?
You're right. You're absolutely right. This is another reason why, you know, people tell me they've applied to more than 1,000 jobs and they didn't hear anything. Applicant tracking systems, or ATS, have been around for a number of years. And at first it was just big corporations that used this. But now, because of cloud-based technology and software prices have come down, and anybody can have one of these systems to use for tracking an applicant and documenting the steps that have been completed leading from when they applied all the way to when they've accepted a job offer. And one of the purposes of these tracking systems is to scan resumes. So this is because they're getting, you know, 250 resumes for a job, for one job. They don't have enough people in their HR staff to read 250 resumes for every job that they've got posted, and there might be 40 or 50 jobs, depending on the size of the company. So they're using these applicant tracking systems, and they're developing keywords, keyword phrases, minimum requirements that they want to see in someone's resume. And they might add on top of that, nice to have, but not essential. Of course, they're not going to say that to us, but other things that they might like to see a person put on the resume. After they input all this data into the system, then they're going to assign it some kind of a ranking. They might want to have a match rank of, say, 80%. Some companies might just want to match at 90%. So what that means is 90% of the words that they programmed in need to show up on someone's resume for it to be an acceptable match. We have no idea what percentage of match they're looking for, and we really don't know exactly what words they programmed in. However, resume professionals have been taught ways to approximate that information. And when we're writing these documents, we're trying to lace the resume with as many of those keywords, keyword phrases. I make sure that my clients are meeting the minimum requirements. You know, if they're saying 3 years experience, then they need to have 3 years experience or more. If they're saying bachelor's degree is required, then they need to have that. Otherwise, they'll get kicked out because they're not matching their minimum requirements. So when I say kicked out, here's what happens. Let's just say 80% match is what they're looking for. All those resumes who don't have an 80% match of words, phrases, and requirements are automatically deleted.
Ooh.
And only the ones that have that 80% or above match will be considered as potential. So when people tell me that they've applied and applied and applied and applied, I'm pretty certain that the resume and perhaps the way they're approaching their job search is the problem. It's not that there aren't jobs out there. It's not that nobody does, that there's no one that wants them. It's that they're just not giving these potential employers what they want. It's kind of like you give them what they want and they'll give you what you want, which is a job. But we have to play ball their way. Back in the 80s, you remember we always, or the 90s, we put an objective statement on a resume.
Yes.
And that objective statement was something like, I'm seeking a position that will utilize my skills and experience in a position that will give me the opportunity to grow and learn within a stable company.
Oh, wrote it many times.
Yes. But here's what that says. This is what I want. And what shouts out loud and clear is that they want an opportunity to grow and learn. And they're not paying you to grow and learn. They're paying you to do a job. And yes, you probably will grow and learn in that job, but they aren't going to pay you to learn how to do that job. So those statements have gone away. We don't even put objective statements on resumes any longer. In its place is now a branding statement or a summary paragraph that expresses a little bit about who you are and what you do and how long you've been doing it. Below that might be some of your big accomplishments. And then we list some your core skills. And then finally, we get to your work history. And that work history looks different nowadays, too. It's not just a paragraph of what you've done in the past. It's not just a bullet list of your job duties. It needs to actually be an accomplishment. When I say that, a lot of times job seekers are like, what? I don't have any accomplishments. I don't know what you're talking about. Everybody has them. I'll give you an example. We have an administrative assistant, used to be called a secretary. Mm-hmm. All right. So she goes to work every day, does her job. And when I ask her about doing an accomplishment, she can't think of anything. And one of the things that everybody needs to remember is that businesses are looking for someone who's going to save them money, save them time, streamline something, make it better, that's going to reduce losses, reduce expenses, a problem solver, basically. So we have our administrative assistant, and she is frustrated because they've got the old file cabinet filing system, paper files, and everybody in the office comes into the file cabinet. They get out the file they want. Maybe there's a policy that they're supposed to put a slip in there that they write their name on and what file they took out, but no one ever does. So they take it back to their office and they use it and then they forget it and they never put it back in the file. And you can understand how this is a problem, right?
Right.
Okay. So she's tired of dealing with it and she's tired of listening to people complain. And it's causing problems in workflow. It's losing information permanently because people can't remember where they put the file when they were done. It's a problem. So she decides she's doing something about it. Now, there could be lots of ways that she could handle this, and I'm not going to go through that, but she comes up with a solution. She goes to her boss and she says, this is the problem, and this is my idea for how we can fix it. And he goes, love it. Go for it. So she does. And then they have a little meeting, and the boss says, okay, Claire, hit it. Tell them what they have to do. So she explains the new system. Everybody says, okay. You know, there's a little, it gets a little dicey there when there's change, but eventually people transition. And guess what? Everything's working much more smoothly. The information is there. And she solved a really big problem. She saved money. She saved time. She might even have saved some of the reputation for the company. All simply because she saw a problem and thought of a way to fix it. She wasn't asking for extra money. She just thought of a way to fix it. People do stuff like this all the time. They see a problem. They think of a way to solve it. They see, you know, gosh, we're wasting so much money by throwing whatever this is out. If we could, so they research it a little and they come up with a way that they can recycle whatever the item is and figure out that if they started to recycle the amount that they had, it could put X number of dollars in the company's revenues. So yeah. They share it. Those are the kind of things that people can put on their resume. And those are the kind of things that you need to put on your resume. But they need to be relevant to the position that a person is applying for. So that's the next component of the job search. It used to be, and I'm sure you remember this, we had sort of a general resume, right? And we could sit in front of the computer. Well, we didn't use the computer back then, but we could look at job openings and go, yeah, I can do that. Okay, a photographer's assistant, I can do that. I can be a administrative assistant. I can be a clerk at a retail store. None of these things are connected. They're like completely different industries, completely different kinds of jobs. And yes, the person probably could do all of these things and a dozens more, but having a very general resume used to work. It doesn't anymore. Everything needs to be targeted. So if you're looking for a position as an accountant, and one of the jobs that you had was a secretarial or administrative assistant job, but in that job, you did bookkeeping and payroll, but you also did all the typing and the office management stuff too. Mm-hmm. What I would focus on in your resume is focus on the skills that apply to the job that you're targeting. So if you're targeting an accounting or a financial kind of position, then that's the kind of stuff that you want to add for that particular job. Maybe it wasn't your main job. You know, maybe your main job was to, you know, be the administrative assistant. But if part of your job required you to do payroll and do some bookkeeping or accounting, then that's the stuff that you want to make sure that you put in. And you don't want to add all that keep managing the files, answering the phone. It's not important to the hiring manager that's looking to hire someone for their accounting department.
Now, plus, I think part of the problem with that is, and I'm sure that you coach them, letting them see that, you know, for me in the past, it was, I didn't think I was being honest. Do you know what I mean? Like if I didn't show you everything. So in fact, I did do one time when I had moved from California to Florida, I was overqualified for everything. And so I couldn't get a job. And so what I did is I tore up my resume basically. And I just put that I could only be a secretary. That's all I could do. And I got hired in the county. And then within a few months, these jobs were posted. And of course they hire from within first. Then I could pull out, hey, by the way, I have management skills. But part of that to me was kind of dishonesty, but yet I had to do it to survive, you know, in my mind, and say, okay, everyone thinks I'm overqualified. They don't want to hire me. They don't want to pay me, you know, and I didn't care. I would work for nothing at that point, you know, but how do you coach people into that, letting them see that you're really wanting to only shine a certain facet of your skills for that job, because otherwise you'll be passed up?
Well, it's like this. You've only got two pages for most people to do a resume, and you need to put the most important things that are going to grab their attention and say, okay, if they did that for ABC company, then maybe they can do that for us. And when you have, like, I'll give you an example. Sometimes, okay, we'll go back to the accounting example. All right, yeah. So say for an example, this person also has on their before resume, the one they come to me with, that they teach Vacation Bible School every year, and they oversee, or they manage the Vacation Bible School, and that's, you know, like 200 kids for 2 weeks in the summertime. Well, that's a great thing, and it's a volunteer thing, and it's awesome, but if it doesn't have anything to do with accounting, then it doesn't need to be on the resume. Now, by the same token, if their job was, say, they worked for the PTA and they were the treasurer of the PTA, and they had to keep the books and, you know, balance things out and take dues or fundraisers. They had to, you know, take in all the money and keep the budget and then send all this stuff off to an accountant to audit, you know, and get it back to make sure everything's okay. Even though that was a volunteer, not paid position, if they're going for a job in accounting, I would absolutely put it on their resume.
Well, the skill is still there.
That's right. Same thing. If we have somebody that just graduated from college with a teaching degree, and they, you know, the only teaching they have experience was their student teaching semester, that's not a whole lot of experience. But if they also had been doing this Vacation Bible School teaching for 4 years while they were in high school and in college too, you know, I absolutely would put it on there because, again, it's relevant to what they're applying for. So if it's relevant, you keep it. If it's not, you don't. And if you can tell that this job that you're applying for is more of an entry-level position and you happen to have a master's degree and they're not looking for that, right. They don't want a master's degree. They don't want to pay someone that has a master's degree. If that shows up on their resume, they might say, this person's not going to stay with us because they've got a master's degree. They don't really want to work for $9 an hour. They'll take a job with us and then they'll quit because they'll get something else. That's going to be the impression they'll be left with, whether it's true or not. So right. if it's not required for the job, leave it off. If you, like you said, you needed to get a job, and once you got in, they hire from within, so then you were able to do a new resume showing the skills that you have for that new position and get considered and move up. It's what you did is the exact thing that I tell my clients to do. And please understand, this is not lying at all. It's not being deceitful. It's not withholding information. What it is trying to give them the information that they need for the job that you are applying for.
Well, and we live in a digital age now, too. So, I mean, and we don't even think about the fact that the poor person who's doing the hiring has all of that to go through. So that puts it in a little different perspective. You know, they only have a few seconds to go through a pile, and then a lot of it is done already with the computer.
That's right.
And if you don't make the mustard with the computer because you didn't have the right keywords and all that information, then you've missed out on those opportunities.
That's right. I don't like that the system is this way. It frustrates me. I feel bad. It affects the way I write resumes. I don't like that either. But you know what? The bottom line is this technology is here. This is the age that we are living in, whether we like it or not. And yeah. If we need to get a job outside of our home or our property, then we have to know what they're looking for, and we have to provide them that kind of information, and we have to do our job search using the technology that the employers are using. And that scanning software that we talked about before, those applicant tracking systems, if you are applying for a job online, like at Monster or Indeed, Career Builder, any one of those job boards, even some of the online employers, if you're applying for a job online, I absolutely guarantee that they are using some type of applicant tracking software to scan the resume.
Yeah.
About the only way you'll get around that is if you're going to work for a small local business that only has one location in town, they don't, maybe they've got 20 employees, then they might not. If they're not advertising online and you just go in and apply and give them your resume, you can skip that applicant tracking thing. But here's the other thing to know. Once a job has been posted on one of those job boards, that means that the HR department has tried to look internally. They've tried to ask employees, do you know someone that could, can you recommend someone that might be able to fill this position? If they're not getting any help that way, then they have no choice but to advertise it. And once it goes there, you know, then they're looking for every T to be crossed, every I to be dotted.
Well, isn't it true, too, though? A lot of times they advertise it just because it's the company policy, even though they may already have someone, it may already have someone lined up, but then maybe that doesn't mean it's a futile thing, because sometimes that person doesn't work out, or they come back later and they go back to that data or information.
You're right. Absolutely. You're right. That happens all the time. And you have to look at your job search like fishing. You keep putting your line in the water. You've got to put bait on it, and the bait comes in your resume and in your LinkedIn profile. That's where the bait is. You keep putting your line in the water and, you know, checking to see if you got anything, winding it in, nothing there, the bait's gone. Okay, well, then we'll put out some more, throw out another resume, and you just keep going. And you don't stop, because honestly, the more, if you're doing things right, if you've got a well-written resume and you've got some information about how to do a job search today, and you're following good business etiquette by including a cover letter, sending a thank you letter after your interview, following up, doing those kind of things, if you're doing all of that, it's just a matter of time. And speaking of time, the U.S. Department of Labor did a study, and they've determined that the average length of a job search for Americans in the U.S. is 36 to 40 weeks.
Wow.
That's really long.
It didn't used to be that way.
It's unfortunate to me, because what that number, 36 to 40 weeks, that tells me that it is those people are using the old type of resume, they're doing the old-fashioned job search, and they're getting passed over again and again and again for 10 months or more.
And so we need to catch up with the times and find out, you know, get rid of the old-fashioned ways, find out what the new fashion ways, not to say that God can't do something, run into somebody and, you know, whatever, referrals or whatever, but for the majority and the masses out there, we've got to learn the new ways.
Nitza, I have a handout that I'd like to make available to your listeners.
Okay.
It's called Is Your Resume Being Deleted? And I'll just send it to you. And then maybe if you want to, you can just post it on your website and they can, you know.
Oh, yeah. And we'll post it. We'll post it with the radio archive also.
Okay, that'd be great.
Okay, and so we need to go. Can you give us one more time your website and how they may contact you?
RadiantResume.com. My email address is the letter A, radiantresume@gmail.com. And you can contact me through my website or just email me. And I'd be really happy to talk with you.
All right. Thank you so much, Posey. And
I'll see you next week.
Yes, because there's so much more to talk about. We want to talk about what happens to Craigslist.
Oh, yes. We can talk about that, too.
All right. Thank you so much, Posey.
You're welcome, hon. Bye-bye.
All right. Goodbye. All right. So this is Remnant Remedy. This is Nitza Moshe. And we just, want to say thank you for being here. And check out RemnantRemedy.net. And we have some new oils in. And also RemnantRemedy.net/radio. And you can see last week's... the week before is last week's posting on Torah Homeschooling with Ann Elliott. And there's about 100 to 50, 200 shows there for you to listen to. So thank you so much for listening. We'll be back again next week. If the creek don't rise, and your gardens always be white, and let your head light, Shalom.